See, that was pretty fast. That was only 15 minutes after landing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very quick.
Mm-hmm.
Recovery Hilo making its approach.
The ship reported to be just about a mile away from the floating command module.
That's very close to the carrier.
That is, yeah.
1 mile, just 1.6 kilometers approximately. That's why the picture's so good. This one of these cameras is on board the carrier, and one's in a helicopter hovering around. One of these television cameras relaying this back to the United States through the ComSat satellite. There's a frogman with his flippers on climbing up there. Those guys are all over it. There's one of the life rafts, astronauts to pop out into.
It looks like the hatch is on the other side from the television camera. That's why he has the raft over there. What they'll do is just open the door, open the hatch
the
just enough to put in some life
vests. Restraining straps on top of the spacecraft.
We can see
the raft,
another team.
Just dropped, will be moved to the spacecraft hatch.
We can see some of those six other frogmen out there pulling in on those parachute shrouds. Looks like they have them.
Looks like they're pulling pulling their parachutes into the rafts they've got out there.
Mm-hmm. That was a little hard to read there, that comment from the rescue helicopter.
It looks like they're, what he said, though, was that they're attaching the egress raft to the flotation collar right in front of the hatch.
This is the raft into which Young, Mattingly, and Duke will
climb
out.
They'll get all three out in the raft, and then one by one they'll pick them up in the helicopter.
Mm-hmm. That's called a Billy Pugh net. That's a good-looking device. When it swings down by there, you just hop into it.
You just get in, and the way the thing is constructed, you just lean into the back of the net and
it sort of scoops you out.
In a chair. Yeah,
it sort of scoops you right
out. It's almost like a hammock. Once you get in it, you know, you're just kind of enfolded in the thing, and you feel very safe in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we're getting another picture here around from the other side of the spacecraft, and we can see the raft in front of the hatch. I presume by now they've tossed in a dry suit that they can put on.
We got
stand by now for a lowering of life preservers from the helicopter, which will be passed along to the crew of Apollo 16.
There are the life vests he has in his hand there, and he'll pass them in through the hatch here, and then they'll close the hatch again long enough for them to put the life vests on inside. We had fresh uniforms in the helicopter that we changed into after we got aboard.
Okay, the helicopter, rescue helicopter, hovering overhead.
If you look closely at the picture there, you can see the mylar that's partially stripped off.
We've been handed splash coordinates from two sources. The onboard computer readout showed coordinates of 43.2 minutes south, 156 degrees, 11.4 minutes west. The ship estimated 44.8 minutes south, 156 degrees, 14 minutes west.
Boy, that was very close to what was predicted as they were coming through. That's 2/10 of a minute south and 4/10 of a minute west of the aim point. Gosh, that is precision.
Should be. Might even find that they were closer than the numbers, too.
Mm-hmm.
That onboard computer is a very, very accurate computer.
There was, of course, there was a lot of last-minute concern there with that navigation system about what's called a glitch. We were following very closely here and during the last several hours.
The Earth Landing System helicopter reports that they were unable to recover the apex cover nor the drogue chutes. The three main chutes were recovered.
So the apex cover got away and sank before all of the swimmers could get around to it, and the drogue chutes. Got the main chutes, though, for examination back here for engineering evaluations. On Apollo 15, Al Worden's flight here, One of the main chutes began to open and then
Apollo 16.
Collapsed, and it's believed that this was caused by the venting of some fuel causing damage to one of the harnesses, correct?
That's what we consider the most likely cause, and that's why they didn't vent their fuel today. We had all three chutes open fully at one time. And then after we vented the fuel, we went through a cloud, and when we came through the bottom of the cloud, of course, we could see that one chute had collapsed. We wanted desperately to recover that chute, but unfortunately we're unable to do so. And that's why I think the swimmers are out here today in force to recover all three chutes.
Okay, Al Worden with us, the command module pilot of Apollo 15. He'll be back with us in just a few minutes to continue this commentary. This is Rhett Turner at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, watching televised pictures coming from Mission Control, through Mission Control, from the aircraft carrier Ticonderoga out there in the Pacific Ocean near the Christmas Islands, about 280 to 300 kilometers south of Christmas Islands, a pinpoint landing, and gee, did it look beautiful. And as Al pointed out, they want very much to recover these parachutes because of the problem experienced on his flight, Apollo 15, when one of the chutes opened and then collapsed. So additional swimmers have been dropped into the surface, six of them, as a matter of fact, assigned just to try to rescue this great parachute mass. Let's listen here. There was a comment from the swim helicopter hovering overhead. There are a total of three helicopters
in the area. Apollo recovery raft is especially contoured to fit alongside of the flotation collar attached to the spacecraft.
Apollo 16 floating gently in the surface. Three very happy men inside, all well and just waiting patiently, going through their closing procedures, shutdown procedures. John Young, Ken Mattingly, Charlie Duke, and as I said, six swimmers are now working on the main parachutes. They have pulled them into their life rafts. The drogue chutes and the apex cover did sink before they could get to them, however. The astronauts are putting on the recovery garments at this time. This is sort of a flight suit, which they don over their just long white underwear, essentially, that other white suit they've had in space with them. The hatch is open. The astronauts, Young, Mattingly, and Duke, donning this flight suit recovery garment. Then they will climb out into the rescue life raft. One of these swimmers standing there at the hatch. We're listening to comment coming from the helicopter hovering right overhead, the rescue helicopter itself. Two other helicopters working to help pick up those parachutes and to stand by in case they're needed here with the spacecraft. Gently rolling seas. The weather couldn't be better. They, as Al Worden pointed out, looking inside the command module now, one swimmer standing on the flotation collar, the chief swimmer, talking to the astronauts.
After the crew of Apollo 16 leaves the command module, a helicopter will hover overhead and lower a billy cue net. It'll usually be about 75 feet above the spacecraft. When the crew members one by one are hoisted up to the helicopter in the billy cue net, which is about 4 feet square and made of stainless steel tubing.
Swimmer still standing on the side of the flotation collar. The hatch is open. Oh boy, that was a little garbled. That was hard to understand.
The crew of Apollo 16 will be hoisted aboard the helicopter with the billy cue net It's 4 feet square at the base, 6 feet in length, and made of stainless steel tubing.
As Al Worden commented, it just sort of scoops you. Just lean back into it, and it just scoops you away. That, again, was a little too garbled to understand. These comments you hear there in the background are coming from an observer in the hovering helicopter just about, 20 to 25 meters overhead. Sea anchor is working nicely. Sea anchor is holding the spacecraft stable. First astronaut is coming out of the command module, about to pop into the life raft. We're getting a very, very clear picture of all of this coming back. First astronaut is in the life raft. I thought I saw sort of a balding head there. That would be Ken Mattingly if it is him. The second astronaut is out in the life raft. A couple of swimmers there with him. I'm sure they're... Third astronaut coming out of the hatch into the life raft, across the flotation collar. It's bobbing gently in the seas there. That's probably John Young, the commander, that dark, very dark hair. Seems to be identifiable. I presume that the commander is leaving the ship last. That would mean Ken Mattingly, then Charlie Duke, and John Young, if I have properly identified them as they came out the hatch via this televised picture, very clear pictures coming back from the Pacific. They're closing the hatch on the module now. And within just a few seconds, the hovering helicopter. Hatch is closed. We can see in the distance from this TV camera on the on one of the helicopters, we can see the waiting carrier just about a kilometer away. Ticonderoga sitting, riding gently on the seas. All three men now out and in the life raft. And it appeared to me that Ken Mattingly came first, Charlie Duke second, and John Young third. I assume the commander is the last to leave the ship. Is that the way it is, Al?
Well, in true Navy fashion, that's certainly the way it should be. I'm sure John was the last one out.
He is a Navy officer. With us here, Al Worden, who was command module pilot on the last such mission, and I'm sure he treasures many, many very precious memories about that flight and is reminded of them, seeing this happen again.
Oh, certainly. It's like looking at myself again now to see the raft, and I remember what it was like when I was on the raft, just getting out of the command module, and I think the first few breaths that I took of air were the nicest I've ever had in my life.
That good old Pacific
sure
Ocean
was.
Air.
That was beautiful.
Terrific. Mother Earth has you back again.
That's right. It's really a very nice, comfortable feeling when you get out on that raft.
Uh-huh. is there actually a noticeable, as you say, you smell and you feel the air there. There's a noticeable difference, huh?
Oh, yes. There's a very distinct noticeable difference. Inside the spacecraft, it's very dry. The atmosphere is an oxygen atmosphere, which is drying. Once you get out on the sea, you get that salt spray, and you get the, you know, there's a lot of moisture in the air, and you get breezes and
the odors of the sea,
the odors and everything, and it's just a fantastic thing for the first few minutes until you get used to it again.
Here comes the Billy Punett dropping down to pick up the first man. Is there a particular protocol, or does each crew sort of decide how they do all of this?
That depends strictly on the prime swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
When we get into the life raft,
he tells who
he
go
tells
where.
Us who's going to go where. We're mm-hmm. completely in his hands at that point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the net's dropping down, and let's see who's picked up first. They're back. As Al's described, one of these men will just lean back into the net when it comes into the raft. When it drops into the raft, a cable dropping down from a helicopter about 25 meters overhead. There goes the first man, first astronaut. Let's wait and see who it is. Can't quite tell from here. There goes the net up to the helicopter, right up to the door. He's at the cargo door, going inside. First astronaut inside. Astronaut Charlie Duke, the lunar module pilot, first man up. Now the helicopter backs off while the Billy Pugh net is drawn up inside. Then he comes back from the side again as the net drops down. Here's the net down to the raft. Second astronaut is in the recovery net, this thing called the Billy Pugh net. That's named for an old salt somewhere, isn't it, Al?
That's named for the man who invented it, that's right.
Billy Pugh.
And I guess if I were a betting man, I'd say Ken Mattingly was next.
Okay, we'll just lay a little informal bet on that. Well, frankly, I agree with you. I can't bet. It's probably going to be John last off the raft.
Probably, yeah.
So there's a second astronaut up into the helicopter. Let's see who that is. He's inside now. Right.
We both win, Rhett.
We have no bet. Ken Mattingly, the second man up from the life raft into the helicopter.
And now the captain.
Now the captain of the ship, the commander of the flight, John Young. And that's down to the raft again. We can see John in it. Up he comes. That thing goes up pretty fast.
They're very proficient at using the Billy Pugh net, and the helicopter pilots are as you can see, very accurate with what they do, very precise with what they do, and they just back off, pull them up, and then go right forward again and drop the Billy Pugh net.
So there's
right
John
next to the
Young
raft.
Going inside the cargo door, the helicopter hovering very gently while the net was reeled in with its cargo inside. And now all three men are in the helicopter, and he'll circle around and land with the wind, we suppose, upwind.
He'll probably circle around for a minute until they change their flying suits and get on some dry clothes.
Oh, they know. That's done in the helicopter rather than in the spacecraft. This flight suit.
Normally, that's done in the helicopter. That's what we did. Yes,
they just had a life vest there that was thrown into.
They just had a life vest that they put on over their coveralls, and when they get into the helicopter, then they'll put on a flying suit, some dry clothes.
Beautiful weather out there in the Pacific, and it's quite different from what we're having right here in near Mission Control now. Some heavy thunderstorms blowing through the area, even a tornado warning in Houston. And out in the Pacific, you couldn't ask for better weather for landing and recovery. Now, nor to be closer to the target. Right. I don't think you'd want to be closer than this 1 kilometer or so from the deck.
See, I don't know. I hope we don't get too much closer. We'll be landing on the deck of the carrier.
Yeah. There goes the helicopter cruising toward the Ticonderoga. When it touches down on the carrier deck, there'll be a lot of applause, a band, and we'll have a correspondent there to pick up the commentary right there from the deck of the Ticonderoga. This helicopter circling around, as Al says, may give them a minute or two to get their suits on, but not necessarily going straight back to the deck. Another one of these helicopters there has a TV camera on board, transmitting a signal back to the Ticonderoga, from whence it goes by a portable satellite Earth station up into space and back to here at Mission Control and in out to the whole world. Apollo 16 has safely returned to Earth. The astronauts have been picked up from their spacecraft, bobbing gently on the Pacific, right on target, and now they're about to be on board the carrier for medical examinations and a good meal. Looks like it's hovering about to touch down now. The rescue helicopters just about to touch down onto the deck of the carrier. There it is. It's on the deck of the aircraft carrier Ticonderoga. With John Young, Charlie Duke, and Ken Mattingly on board. Al Worden here reliving this experience with us. I wonder if that was
a very emotional time getting out on
that. I wonder if that was the
carrier.
I wonder if that was the recovery chopper there, that first one to land.
I think this is probably the recovery helicopter coming in now.
Yeah, that may have been one of the other three that touched down a moment ago. I may have been premature in identifying which one touched down on deck. There are two more out there, and the way the television cameras are switching around, it's a bit difficult to decide which is which. Here comes another one into land now. The one that lands near the red carpet, that's the one...
I guess that would be the right one, Red.
Yeah, that first one that landed was back near the fantail.
He was right on the fantail, right.
Mm-hmm.
That was probably a helicopter with photographers and news people in it.
Mm-hmm. Here comes the second one.
This looks like it might be the
recovery
helicopter here.
Very close to the deck. First one's already landed, dropped its people, and taken off. So that obviously wasn't the recovery chopper, or Hilo, as the Navy men describe it. Okay, he's coming in. Okay, let's go to the aircraft carrier, Ticonderoga, and pick up the description from our correspondent there for this landing and the astronauts on deck.
We are told was successful in recovering two of the three main chutes from Apollo 16. And batting two out of three, considering the speed with which the parachutes normally sink, is a very good average. Recovery helicopter has not yet begun to make its approach. It is lingering off the stern to port. The ship has slowed down, coming up into the wind to help in the helicopter landing. Those to be involved in the welcome ceremonies now are beginning to gather on the flight deck. A crew of sailors is preparing to put down the traditional red carpet, which is on deck and rolled up. It will be stretched between the helicopter and the ceremonial platform, between the platform and the island. Apollo 16's recovery includes the largest medical team in the history of the Apollo program. There are 25 doctors and specialists aboard the Ticonderoga. They took over what is normally the Admiral's headquarters aboard. When the astronauts have completed their part in the welcome ceremonies aboard the deck, they go immediately inside the Admiral's quarters and begin a six-hour medical debriefing program. There are many medical questions that were raised in previous Apollo missions, and the medical recovery team has been beefed up. Their duties lengthened considerably in an attempt to get the answer to some of these problems, including some rather erratic heart conditions that cropped up with two of the astronauts during Apollo 15. Recovery helicopter 001, now over the flight deck, now being dropped down onto spot number 5. It's about 10 feet off the deck. Commander Arnie Fieser slows it down. Following the instructions of the flight director, recovery is hovering right over the spot 5, just right down below us, and it is on the deck. The Apollo 16 astronauts aboard the carrier Ticonderoga. The deck crews race out to the helicopter, put the shocks in place. In just a moment, the rotor will be shut down, the engines turned off, and the NASA chiefs of the recovery team will be the first to talk to the astronauts when the hatch is opened. The Navy deck crew standing at attention alongside the chopper, flight director signaling the commander to shut down the engines. Now marching out onto the flight deck, a Marine color guard bearing the American flag, the flag of NASA, the flag of the Air Force, and the flag of the Navy. The color guard followed by a Marine honor guard, which will be just forward of the ceremonial platform. Captain Boyd, soon to be Rear Admiral Boyd, Admiral Harry Morgan, and an aide, and Chaplain Les Davis, Chickasaw, Oklahoma, now are out taking their positions. The rotor of the helicopter recovery is now stopped. A platform is in place. Charles Philly, the NASA recovery team leader, immediately up the steps into the open hatch. We could see him shake hands with at least one of the astronauts who are now appearing in the hatch as the Navy band strikes up a tune. Three astronauts lined up just outside the helicopter hatch. All three salute, standing at attention, and then look up and wave at the crew. They are all grinning broadly. Now they start down the steps and down the traditional red carpet. Charles Tilly, it looks, is escorting Captain Young, followed by Ken Mattingly, and I believe maybe Charles Duke bringing up the rear. It's apparent, by the way, that the astronauts did not pause to shave aboard the recovery helicopter before they came aboard the Ticonderoga. A series of handshakes with Admiral Morgan, Captain Boyd, the three astronauts wearing the regular blue flight coveralls. Now, Captain Boyd.
It gives me a great deal of pleasure this morning on this special day to welcome the crew of Apollo 16 to the deck of Ticonderoga. The officers and men of Ticonderoga, this historic ship, are very proud indeed to be a part of this historic mission. Commander Lex Davis, Ticonderoga's senior chaplain, will offer our prayer to Almighty God.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who alone prescribes the order of the universe, we lift our thanks to thee for the safe return of astronauts Young, Duke, and Mattingly. As the heavens once led wise men to the cradle of thy son, so may the knowledge of thy celestial creation guide us to greater understanding of thy will for mankind, that thy goodness may be magnified throughout the world to the honor of thy holy name. Amen.
Admiral Henry S. Morgan, Jr., the commander of Pacific Recovery Force, will introduce the crew of Apollo 16.
This is a moment of pride and humble triumph for the crew of Apollo 16. Those of us of the Pacific Recovery Force spread about this ocean are honored to be a small segment of the picture. I know the crew is glad to be back, and we're all glad to see you back. Now, Captain John Young, the commander of Apollo 16.
It really is great to be back. I think I have to say thank you to four different groups of people today. I'm not going to make a long speech because that is my nature. But I've been working with a couple of guys for about 2 years. They've always demonstrated they're clever, intelligent, resourceful, and all the good words. But in the last 10 days, on a mission where time-critical things had to go just right, where we had some rather difficult problems and rather minor problems, Ken and Charlie performed in an outstanding manner. Their professional, cool courage and discipline in situations which required time-critical, button punching, stick throwing, switch pulling, was tremendous. And they also exhibited a cool professional courage in situations where they were involved in some personal risk, I feel. So to them, I would like to say outstanding for your performance. For the benefit of you Navy guys, that's a hearty well done. The second group of people is the people at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas, and around the country who did so much during our mission to make it go. We could tell by every message that came to us that there had been a lot of people working all over the country to do their job. And by golly, we appreciate it because we made that mission go, thanks to you. The third group of people that nobody ever talked about much is the American taxpayer. I think you taxpayers, we taxpayers, you got your money's worth on this one. You really did. You saw an example of goal-oriented teamwork in action. The kind of thing that made this country great and the kind of thing that's going to keep it that way. You also saw, and sitting right there in Casper right now, a mission of discovery. There are secrets in that vehicle that nobody knows what is in there. There's some basic knowledge and understanding in that vehicle right now. We're going to find those things out, and one of these days, it's going to benefit us all. I can guarantee you, I feel that if we hadn't done our mission, we'd have been remiss in not uncovering this basic knowledge. And what I'm saying is that basic knowledge that's locked in those secrets is pushing back the last real frontier, the frontier of the unknown. And by golly, that's essential to the survival of humanity on this planet. And the fourth group of people, and maybe the people I feel more at home with than anybody, is the good old U.S. Navy. Thanks for being here, because I tell you right about now, Charlie, Ken and myself aren't swimming too good.
Now, astronaut Ken Mattingly.
I never thought a group of all males could look so good. But you sure do. We'll fix that in a short time, too. But thank you very much for doing a very professional job. And to all the people back in Houston and the rest of the NASA team, I hope they get a chance to come back and personally say thank you to all of you folks. You really did a bang-up job. Thank you.
Astronaut Charles Duke is next at the microphone.
It's pretty difficult for me to put my feelings into words right now. We've seen so much and done so much in the last 11 days. It's almost indescribable, the views and the scenes you see. You don't think that that one can be topped, and then sure enough, the next one tops it. Just most clearest in my mind is the entry right now, and that's hard to top. It's going to be a while to digest everything that has happened. But I, along with John, would like to say thank you from the bottom of my heart to the four groups of people that he mentioned. Thank you again, everyone. It's good to be back, and we'll be looking forward to seeing everyone again. Thank you.
So that concludes the ceremonies. Welcome to the Apollo 16 astronauts. Back to the carrier, Ticonderoga. The United States has successfully landed its 9th and 10th men on the moon, and more important, they return safely to Earth, by golly. A quick thanks to producer Scott Bruns, engineers Phil Ryder and Rick Scroggie.
Okay, here at the Manned Spacecraft Center, we've been watching and listening to this. So have all of the engineers in Mission Control, the people to whom John Young was addressing his remarks. The three astronauts have shaken hands with the dignitaries on deck of the carrier and have disappeared below decks as the Navy band there plays Anchors Away. Al Worden has been through this with us this afternoon. We wish to thank you very much for helping us give that very lucid commentary and first-person insight as to what it's like to come home from the moon. Mm. Al?
Certainly my pleasure, Rick.
You were right in there living it again, weren't you?
Well, you know, it's I think it's kind of hard not to relive something like that once you've been through it. It's the sort of thing that we don't do every day. It's the sort of thing that you have to be very lucky to do once in your lifetime. And I think since this is the first recovery that I've been able to watch since my own, it brings back some very vivid memories of what the entry and the landing and the carrier were like after we got on board. And it sort of makes me think that, you know, the two probably most spectacular and emotional times of a flight are launch and recovery. Mm-hmm. They're similar in some respects. Launch is, of course, with a lot of fire and a lot of flame, a lot of noise, and there's no question that you're going somewhere in a hurry. Entry, on the other hand, starts very quietly and ends up in the ceremony on the carrier deck, and it sort of builds all the way through the entry.
I was well aware that both Ken Mattingly and Charlie Duke were feeling considerable emotion in their remarks.
I think it's awfully hard not to. I recall our post-entry activities, especially the next morning. I think after I'd had a chance to think about it for a day, the more emotional time was the next morning when we went to Hawaii, transferred from the carrier to the aircraft to come back to Houston, and we stood out on a small deck out on the platform out on the airfield there in Hawaii and said a few words to the people that were there. There was quite a crowd for that early in the morning. And I think one of the most fantastic things in my whole life was to look up over the heads of that crowd and see the moon sitting there. And, you know, realize that we had just been there. And it was probably the one of the most fantastic emotional things of my life that morning.
Uh-huh. And there are these little moments continue to come when you realize you've done it, don't they?
Well, they do, but they come, you know, just like everything else. I suppose it's like making a trip anywhere. The longer it goes from, you know, since the trip, the longer the time, probably the hazier are the recollections. until you see something like this, and then it brings it all back very clearly. And I, of course, have sort of lived right through this thing with these guys today.
Yeah, well, it's been our pleasure to have you do it with us on the air and for the rest of the whole world, sharing it with us on shortwave here on Voice of America.
Thank you, Red.
Okay, we've brought you live coverage of the return to Earth of the voyage of Apollo 16, astronauts John Young, Ken Mattingly, and Charlie Duke, who've been to the moon and back, spending 11 days as Ken Mattingly circled the moon, doing the same sort of orbital experiments that Al Worden here did on Apollo 15. John Young and Charlie Duke going down to the surface and doing a fantastic sampling expedition in the dramatic Descartes Highlands area, bringing back over 100 kilograms of material. And it's all been done successfully. Now our television picture switches quickly to Mission Control, and there's the traditional lighting of cigars throughout Mission Control. And I should have had one for you, Al.
Maybe in this small booth a cigar would be too much, right?
Yeah. There's Dr. Robert Gilruth, Dr. George Lowe, and Dr. Chris Kraft, some of the guiding mentors of the space program, as they are very happily being congratulated on the completion of another successful lunar landing expedition, probably the most scientifically rewarding yet. And that's all from here at the Manned Spacecraft Center. It's been my pleasure to bring you this description of this entire mission, too. This is Rhett Turner.
And here is a statement by the President of the United States on the just-completed mission of Apollo 16. The journey of Apollo 16 has ended, but the contributions of this mission to scientific progress have only begun. Rarely, if ever, has so much new information been made available to science in such a brief period. As the work of evaluation and analysis goes forward, the impact of Apollo 16 will be felt for many years to come. On behalf of all Americans, I am pleased to welcome astronauts Young, Duke, and Mattingly back to Earth and to salute them for a job well done. Their skill, their courage, and their enthusiasm have written another proud chapter in the stirring story of mankind's struggle to unlock the mysteries of the unknown. A statement by the President of the United States on the successful mission of Apollo 16. And as you've heard, astronauts Young, Duke, and Mattingly are safely aboard the USS Ticonderoga after a successful pinpoint landing and recovery near Christmas Island in the Pacific Ocean, ending the Apollo 16 mission. And so the Voice of America comes to the close of its live coverage of Apollo 16's journey to the Descartes Highlands and back to Earth. Nearly all of the difficult and sometimes hazardous goals of this lunar flight were accomplished. The deployment of scientific instruments, some new in the Apollo experiments packages, three lunar excursions which totaled over 20 hours, in addition to new orbital experiments and photographic assignments. There were some delays and malfunctions which, in the final analysis, pointed up once again the versatility of the Apollo systems. Our thanks to VOA space correspondents Rhett Turner and James Miller at the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, and all the support people behind the scenes. Our thanks, too, for special help from astronauts Jim Irwin, Jack Swigert, Al Worden, and NASA engineer Don Beatty. On behalf of Les Higby, this is Norman Garron in Washington. This is the Voice of America broadcasting from Washington. Now, a summary of world news. Paul Parks reporting.
The Apollo 16 spacecraft has splashed down in the Pacific Ocean, ending man's first exploration of the Descartes Highlands and Kelly Plains region of the moon. Millions of television viewers saw the spacecraft's parachutes open minutes before splashdown, and helicopters from the Ticonderoga were immediately overhead to begin recovery operations. A rescue team jumped from the helicopters to attach a collar around the spaceship to make it more stable in the water. At the same time, astronauts John Young, Charles Duke, and Ken Mattingly reported they were in outstanding condition.